All right, welcome back to it. Good to have you here. It's a Monday. So much to cover here today. Federal lawsuits are challenging the constitutionality of Michigan's term limits. Don't know if you've heard about it, but we're going to talk about it now. John Bursch here, former Michigan Solicitor General and head attorney in this case, filed in the Western District of Michigan, known as Kahn et al. Versus Secretary of State Joycelyn Benson. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. Good morning.
All right, so tell me about this lawsuit, the basis of it, and why we're pursuing it.
Well, it's pretty extraordinary because in the last 20 years, I've never seen folks from both sides of the political aisle come together the way the Republicans and Democrats have in the form of the representatives and senators who are trying to bring this case. This involves 8 plaintiffs. 7 of them are term limited and can no longer serve in the legislature ever again. Keeping in mind that Michigan's term limits are the shortest and harshest in the nation. You serve 6 years in the House and then you're banned for life. That's the end of the story. And all of them see that this is a problem for Michigan government, and they want to leave Michigan in a better place than they found it. And they think that means having more experienced senators and representatives.
Well, you know, I'm a guy who has opposed term limits from day one. Never liked the idea. I always felt that term limits were something we call an election. If you don't like somebody, vote them out. And so that's where I've always been. So looks like I turned out to be right on this one. So where are we in the process?
We filed the complaint last Wednesday morning, and that kind of kicks things off. As you probably know, the legal system is not a fast one. It's going to take a while. But it's possible by the 2022 election, the existing term limits could be wiped off the books, and that would be an incredible primary where current senators and representatives, new faces, but then a lot of our old favorites could all be competing against each other. And that's not to say that all term limits are necessarily bad. There are other states that have much more reasonable term limits, and it's entirely possible that if Michigan's worst in the nation term limits were wiped off the board, we would come back and try to do something more reasonable. Say, you know, 12 years in the House, sit off for a term to eliminate that incumbency advantage and then give them an opportunity to run again. But the problem now is that the folks barely have time to get in the door, and they're being ushered out to exit. And if you had a heart condition and were going to the cardiologist, no one would say, give me the least experienced cardiologist that you have. And yet that's exactly what we're saying with our politicians.
Yeah. Here's the thing. How did we end up with term limits in Michigan?
Well, we ended up not because of any grassroots effort that started here in Michigan, but because out-of-state interests thought that this would be best for Michigan. And they poured tens of millions of dollars into a campaign to put their idea of what good Michigan government looked like on the ballot. And because of all the money that they spent, that eventually passed.
But my point being is, my point being is, it was voted on by Michigan, right? We voted on it here.
Oh, sure it was. And that was nearly 30 years ago. And you know, anybody over a 30-year period can learn some things. And what we've learned is that these six-year and then you're out forever lifetime ban term limits have shifted the power from our democratically elected representatives to lobbyists and career bureaucrats.
But here's my question.
That's not a representative democracy.
The point that I'm driving at, John Bursch, former Michigan Solicitor General here, what I'm asking you is why would it not be constitutional?
Because under the First and 14th Amendment, there are certain constitutionally guaranteed rights to ballot access. There's a freedom of association as well as equal protection laws. And that requires the courts to give any ballot restrictions careful scrutiny. And we think that some term limits would absolutely survive careful scrutiny. But when you're talking about the shortest, most harsh lifetime bans in the nation, those will not satisfy careful scrutiny. And it would be no different if you filed or passed a law that restricted ballot access that eliminated someone's free speech rights or discriminated based on race. Those are, you know, other examples where you could go to federal court, get an order that says this violates the federal constitution.
Sure, but it sat there for 30 years.
Try again.
Yeah, but it's sat there for 30 years and not been challenged. So my question, playing devil's advocate here, and again, I'm a guy that doesn't support term limits, but I do support the people's right to vote and pass an initiative. I don't think the redistricting plan is a very good one either. But it got passed by the Michigan voters, and so we're stuck with it. I don't know how can you say the will of the people is not constitutional in this case?
Well, like I said, any time that the will of the people violates the federal constitution, federal courts have something to say about that. Again, if you had a ballot restriction, even one that was in place for 30 years, that said no African-American candidates may be placed on the ballot. There's no question that 30 years later, a federal court would be able to remedy that. The U.S. Constitution's rights don't rise or fall based on how long a law has been on the books,
right,
or even the fact that the voters approved it. It has to do with whether it complies with federal law.
Right, and somebody listening is going to go, yeah, but what about the president's term limited? He is, but that's an amendment to the United States Constitution, correct?
Correct. And obviously, if you have an amendment to the U.S. Constitution, it doesn't violate the U.S. Constitution. What we have here are amendments to the Michigan Constitution, which absolutely can violate the U.S. Constitution and do here.
But who has I guess my question is, who controls? It's Michigan's representatives. They're not federal representatives. They're representatives of Michigan. So how can the federal government dictate to Michigan the method and manner in which we elect representatives? I'll give you the last word.
The federal government doesn't dictate how Michigan controls its representatives and senators, but it does put certain constitutional limits. And I'll come back to the race example again. If Michigan wanted to bar a particular race from appearing on its ballot as candidates, that would be struck down in a heartbeat by the federal courts, because that's a limit that the federal constitution places on us.
But what about state rights?
It's the same with these.
But what about states' rights?
The states certainly have rights to set rules within parameters. So, for example, other states do have term limit laws, which I think would survive constitutional scrutiny. I just think that Michigan's go too far. They cross the line. It's like in the campaign finance context. The U.S. Supreme Court has never said that all such restrictions have to fall by the wayside, because states do have a considerable amount of authority over that. But when you have campaign limits that are so low they violate the Constitution, they're worst in the nation, like Michigan's term limits, they haven't hesitated to wipe those off the books, even if they've been in place for many decades.
There you go. All right, John, we'll leave it there. It's a good conversation, and I'm sure one that we will revisit. John Bursch, former Michigan Solicitor General, head of an attorney of a case filed in the Western District, trying to declare term limits in Michigan unconstitutional. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Have a great day.
There you have it. It's the Steve Gruber Show.